do this. We both do this. We're going to introduce our wonderful speaker now.
Oh, okay. We.
We're a team when Lindy's here. Miss Kathy S. I saw Kathy with the K. Kathy Stalecki is going to be our wonderful speaker today. I saw that, was it just yesterday that you got a certificate?
Monday.
Was it Monday you got a certificate to become a life coach?
Yes.
And so this is a major, major thing for Kathy. She's really now very excited that she can now truly professionally life coach anyone who needs that assistance, which is wonderful. And why don't you say a couple words?
Okay. Kathy's really known throughout our church as being the nun who woke up sober in the convent. But more so for her music and her delightful talks that she's given in the past. Kathy is a singer-songwriter of great ability, and she shares her music with us on many occasions, and we really appreciate that. We're hoping maybe she'll sing one tonight. She didn't bring her guitar, though, did she?
And also, she faithfully comes on Wednesday nights to be a healer upstairs, so if you ever want a treat, come early between 6:30 and 7:30 and bring yourself upstairs and sit up on one of the healing stools by either Kathy or Larry or anybody else. I know David was up there too, so that is a special treat for us being part of the healing, and she is one of our wonderful healers. And we are looking forward to hearing her talk. So we want to introduce to you Miss Kathy with a K.
Hi, everybody.
Well, I know that I tend to speak better if I don't have a lot of notes, so I don't have a lot of notes. I'm going to wing it a little bit. First of all, I just want to offer my condolences to Barbara and Marika's family, and I'm really thrilled that you're here. It takes a lot of courage to share your grief with a loving family like this, so I'm really glad that you're all here. I just want to let you have a visual. I do have my book available on my website, Waking Up Sober in a Convent and Other Spiritual Adventures. So there's a lot of different adventures I've been through that I wrote about. And the way that book came to be happened to be because of Millie's classes. My first year in class, Millie gives you your Native American spirit guide. And when she got mine, in the little piece of paper you get that tells you who your spirit guide is and what they're there to support you with, mine is Flying Dove. And part of what Flying Dove said was you used to write stories, but you had a hard time hearing our inspiration, so then you started singing what you were getting, and we would like to help you write your story. So I've always been drawn to books and drawn to spiritual stories and self-help books, and it didn't really occur to me to write my own story. But with that seed planted, I started writing, and then I stopped. And then I started writing, and then I stopped. And it took me 3 years to rewrite, throw it out, start over. And anyway, that's the final product is Waking Up Sober in a Convent. I was told by a reviewer that it's a cross between a self-help book and a memoir. So she wanted me to pick one. I said, you know what? I'm not doing this again. So it is what it is. Tonight, what I'd like to share with you is my journey with The Course in Miracles. I'm sure many of you have heard of The Course in Miracles, pretty much. It was written in the 70s, and I first heard about the Course in the 90s when I lived in St. Louis. I was cleaning houses for people, and I was cleaning a bookstore for this woman that I also cleaned her house, and it was a metaphysical bookstore, and she had The Course in Miracles in there, and so I went ahead and bought it. And I tried to read it, and it didn't make sense to me. It kept talking about the Son of God, the Son of God, the Son of God. And to me, the Son of God is Jesus. And I thought, well, I love Jesus a lot. But this is kind of narcissistic to have this whole book about the Son of God. I just wasn't getting it. So, but when I read it, I did feel peaceful. So I just kind of hoped and prayed that one day it would make sense to me. So I set it aside, kept my copy, and fast forward to, let's see, about 2008, I was in Millie's class, and one night in class, someone got Mary Magdalene and also the Gospel of Thomas, and someone made the comment that Mary Magdalene was not the prostitute that tradition tends to say that she was. There was a mix-up somewhere along the way, and we started talking about who was Mary Magdalene and what is the Gospel of Thomas. It didn't make it into the Bible, but what is it? Where is it? So I went to work the next day and started speaking with my friend Jody, who's into metaphysics and all kinds of interesting things, spirit. And I told her about the Gospel of Thomas and what happened in class, and she said, if you want to learn more about the Gospel of Thomas, you should read The Disappearance of the Universe. I'm like, really? Okay. I went ahead and ordered a used copy, and I started reading it, and she said, you know, be prepared to have your world turned upside down if you get into this book. I was like, all right, I'm ready. So I started reading it, and it's about two ascended masters that visit this musician up in Maine. His name is Gary. He's the author. And he recorded their visits for 10 years, and that's the first book. And it turns out it's all about The Course in Miracles. So I refer to The Disappearance of the Universe as kind of a Course in Miracles 101. It's kind of a primer. It starts getting your thinking in line to what The Course in Miracles is trying to tell us. And The Course in Miracles is really a course of study where we get to look at our thinking and decide if it's working for us or not. It talks about the thought process of the ego, which traditional Christianity would call it Satan, kind of the thought process of Satan. There is no Satan, we know that. There is no devil. But there is a thought process that we can buy into that is all about fear and all about us versus them and all about competition. That tends to be, unfortunately, the predominant thinking of a lot of the world right now. But then there's this thought process of God and the Holy Spirit, which is all about love, all about inclusiveness, all about oneness, all about the fact that love really is all there is and that we are all one, we are all connected. So I started reading The Course in Miracles, and I went to hear one of the early teachers, the first teachers of the course, Ken Wapnick, Dr. Ken Wapnick. He lived up in Temecula. He passed away this past December. I went to hear him speak at a Unity church in El Cajon, and he kind of told the story that the course hints around. It doesn't come right out and tell you the story, but it's the creation story. Now, we all know the Bible's creation stories. There's some similarities, but the Course in Miracles creation story kind of goes like this, and I'm still kind of new at this, so I may not get it totally accurate, but I think you'll get the gist of it. So in the beginning, there was God, just this big bundle of love energy. And God being love can't keep love to itself, so it begot the Son of God, which is basically all of us. So this energy called the Son of God was happy and just enjoying the love between the Father and the Son. And one day, the Course refers to it as the tiny mad idea. We got a tiny mad idea. Something like, if you're a little child and you see adults playing with matches to light a fire, you're like, oh, I wonder what it's like to light a match. It was kind of like that kind of an idea. It was kind of like, what would it be like if we went off and played in our own playground? We're creative like God. God made us just like God. Only we're not God. God is the first. God made us. But, you know, if you're German, then you're offspring are German. If you're Italian, your offspring are Italian. That's how it made sense to me. So we have all the creative abilities of God, and we had this tiny mad idea of what the Course calls separation. What if we went off and did our own thing? Well, enter the ego. Now, the Course doesn't explain where the ego comes from, but we've all experienced it, so somehow it is. And enter the ego, which said, ooh, you thought about leaving God. God's going to be so mad at you. You better get as far away from God as possible, because God's going to seek revenge on you, because God is a jealous God. You know, that's kind of where that thought system came from. So in order to protect ourselves, we went as far away from God as we possibly could, and we created this world. Because again, we are as powerful and creative as God, and that's a compliment to God. Now, I know that religion doesn't like us, traditional religion doesn't like to hear that because it's like blasphemy. How dare you say you're as good as God? But, you know, the Course says we were made from God, we are like God, like begets like. It uses the expression, ideas leave not their source. So if God thought us, we are a thought in the mind of God, we will be like God. And when we're like God, it feels wonderful. When we own it, when we know it, that's when we feel love, that's when we feel peace, that's when we feel joy. So anyway, so back to the creation of the world. So the Big Bang, whatever you want to call it, we created this place where we could keep God out. But the underlying truth of all this is that it never happened. We can never be separate from God. So the separation never happened. And it's like we're children lying in bed having a dream. Most of the time it's a nightmare. But this, and Buddhism calls this an illusion. And that's really what it is. This is an illusion. It feels real, you know? It feels so real to us. And when we get quiet, and when we meditate, or when we sing, or when we love, we remember that connection to each other and to God. So how did all this come to be? It's like the Son of God was one big pane of glass, this oneness, and it got splattered on the ground into millions and billions of little pieces. So all the energy, everything's got energy. Well, it's got energy. And that's all of us. That's everything we see, everything we feel. And so there's this dispersion of the God energy, but again, it's an illusion, it's not real. So the Holy Spirit is kind of gently going into our room while we're sleeping and gently nudging us to wake up to who we really are. That's what this great awakening is. We're here to wake up to our divinity and to our oneness. And what does that mean? You know, we all know that we should choose love over hate. We should all forgive. When someone hurts us, we should forgive them. Traditional Christianity talks about forgiveness being, you wronged me. I know you didn't mean it because in your best, highest self, I know you wouldn't do that. But I'm gonna tap into my love volume and I'm going to forgive you. And the Course's version of forgiveness is a little different. They call it the new version of forgiveness. So the Course's explanation of forgiveness is looking past illusion to see the truth. So if someone harms me, I have to remind myself that this is a dream, it didn't really happen, and they are me. I am them. We are all connected. We are all one. And it's easier to remember for me when I think about who Jesus is. You know, Jesus is the epitome of love, the epitome of generosity, the epitome of gentleness, and that's who we are all called to be. So it's not like Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. Jesus is our older brother, which is what I love about spiritualism, that teaches that Jesus is our evolved brother. He's ahead of the road from us. He's showing us the way. I was trying to share some of this with Millie a few weeks back, maybe a couple months ago, and she was like, okay, well, it sounds similar to spiritualism. How is it different? How is it different? And I really had a hard time clarifying, coming up with how it's different, because it's different in such a way that it kind of gets me uncomfortable to, like, share it with you, because it's, like, it's kind of radical. It's kind of out there. And it's different in the sense that we created this world. God didn't create this world. And that's an important distinction, because if God created this world, what kind of a God is that? To create a world where we can be hurt, where we can hurt each other, where we can experience pain, that's not a God that I want, you know? So it's kind of a relief for me to own the fact that God did not create this. In God's mind, we are all safe at home with God. I've been doing the lessons. The Course in Miracles has about 600 pages of text. And If you pick any section of the text and start reading it, it starts saying the same thing. And again, you have to remember the Son of God is referring to all of us. I want to digress a minute and talk about the Christian language used in the Course. It really pissed me off at first when all I heard was the Father and the Holy Spirit and Jesus and the Son of God. I'm like, why did Jesus channeled the scribe of the Course was a woman psychologist named Helen Schuckman, and she characterized what she heard as the voice. And at times she felt like Jesus was actually sitting next to her on the couch giving her these words. And she could stop it at any time and then go back to it when she was ready to start writing again. So Ken Wapnick explained that Jesus used Christian language in the Course to forgive Christianity for all of its mistakes. It's kind of cool. So even Jesus recognized that Christianity got it wrong, and I'm sure he's not all that happy about that. But then again, Jesus, I can't imagine Jesus not being happy, so I'm sure he's fine with it, because he knows it's not real. But it's kind of, I really appreciate the fact that it is written in Christian language, now that I understand why, because it tells me that Jesus is trying to correct a major wrong that happened in this illusion that we're living. The Course calls this world the world of form, because in reality, there is no form, there is no podium, there is no body. We're not a body, we're spirit. Let's see where I was going from here. Yeah, so the Christian language. So the text itself is over 600 pages, and the reason it's so long is because it keeps saying the same thing over and over again in a different way. And it's a course in changing our thinking, changing our perception. Because, you know, I've been studying the course for probably maybe 4 years now, 4 or 5 years, and I still don't get it. I still don't have it. I still get mad at people. I still judge people. I still start taking sides on issues. And it's like, why bother? It's not real. If I send love and pray and send and do a it's called forgiveness lessons. When I see something that's bothering me, it's an opportunity for forgiveness. And again, forgiveness is to look past the illusion to see the truth. So when I see people acting in ways that are really harmful to each other, I have to remind myself that they're wrapped up in their ego. Now, that's not a judgment. That's more of like an observation, because we all have the ego acting up from time to time, sometimes more than other times. And so it's just a reminder for me what's real, and to look past our each other's character defects, our flaws, and to see the truth about who we are. So that's why the text itself is so long. And one of the verses I wanted to share at the beginning of the course, basically what the course says is, nothing real can be threatened. And real is the key word. Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. When we know that nothing real can be threatened, that we are all home safe, in bed having this dream, gently being rocked awake, it's kind of a, I find peace in that. After the text, there's a workbook, One Lesson for Each Day of the Year, and I'm going through it for the second time, and I want to share one of the lessons with you. This past year has been a challenge for me. I went through a breakup a year ago. We had to sell our condo, and we did that like 2 months ago. And it was a kind of a long, drawn-out process, and I've been staying in my RV in a friend's driveway, and I'm learning how to live simply, and it's actually been kind of fun. It's nice not having TV and all those distractions and just living simply. It's kind of been my God time. And something happened a couple of weeks ago. I made a new friend, and I was telling her about the breakup. And I didn't go into detail, but she's like, I kind of sense there's some sadness still if you feel like talking. And I'm like, okay. I didn't really feel like talking because I just don't want to conjure it all up. But one night, it all just kind of came up. And it may come up again. So, you know, it's always sad when there are endings. And in our humanness, we feel that sadness, and that's okay. We have to feel it. We have to move through it. So there's balance, you know, that we need to remind ourselves, you know. And so I just had myself a really good cry. My mom's got dementia. It's getting worse. We're probably going to move her back down to Florida to be in the stability of her own home. And I'm looking at moving down to Florida the end of October to be her primary caregiver. And I'm waiting to hear if I can work remotely with the idea that when I'm not needed, I'll come back here because this is my home. So just a lot of things, grieving different things. And once I had a good cry and I kind of got it all out, the next day was this lesson, which it's lesson 182. It says, be still an instant and go home. This world you seem to live in is not your home. And somewhere in your mind, you know that this is true. A memory of home keeps haunting you as if there were a place that you called, that called you to return. Although you do not recognize the voice, nor what it is the voice reminds you of, yet still you feel an alien here from somewhere all unknown. Nothing so definite that you could say with certainty you are in exile here. Just a persistent feeling, sometimes not more than a tiny throb, at other times hardly remembered, actively dismissed, but surely to return to mind again. No one but knows whereof we speak. You can see the language is a little weird with these buts. Yes, some try to put their suffering in games they play to occupy their time and keep their sadness from them. Others will deny that they are sad and do not recognize their tears at all. Still others will maintain that what we speak of is illusion, not to be considered more than but a dream. Yet who, in simple honesty, without defensiveness and self-deception, would deny he understands the words we speak? It kind of goes on to say, you know, perhaps you think you're missing a childhood home. You know, I think we can all resonate with, like, wanting to find that feeling of home. And what that is that memory of our oneness with God. St. Augustine said, our hearts are restless till they rest in thee, O Lord. And back in lesson number 5 says we are never upset for the reason we think. So, yeah, there's all kinds of things in life that can get us upset, but our underlying reason to be upset is that we think we left God, and we feel guilty about that. So these forgiveness lessons of looking past illusion to the truth are retraining our thinking to remember who we really are, who each other really is. And if you can imagine, I think everyone in this room would love a world like Star Trek, you know, where it's the intergalactic galaxy, or I'm not really a Trekkie, but you know, the whole globe, the whole world is like one nation, and they're all there working together. I mean, we all long for that kind of oneness. And so when I read the Course, I just feel that oneness, that peace, and it reminds me, helps me keep things in perspective. So that's one of the greatest gifts of the Course for me. There's a couple of spiritual tools that I found helpful in this life, and I mentioned them in my book. One is the power of our thinking, you know, that like attracts like, and that if we want good stuff, we have to think good stuff, and then we have to put good stuff out there, do good things, you know, and it starts becoming cyclical. You know, we learn that in spiritualism. I've also learned it in Science of Mind in a different way. So that helps us kind of, a lot of the tools are similar. Oops. And in spiritualism, of course, we believe in life beyond the body. And what the Course has given me is even a perspective above that. Because one day, have you ever wondered what's going to happen at the end? Is there an end? And what the Course teaches is that one day when enough of us wake up, God will reach down and carry us the rest of the way,
and we'll all go home together. And we won't have these bodies. We won't have, I won't have the identity of Kathy. You know, you won't have the identity of Penny. And we won't care. We won't be attached to our identities. We'll just be bundles of love, happy to be all together again. And that's why the book is called The Disappearance of the Universe. So, you know, the ego gets scared about that because the ego wants to live on. But that's, I noticed the time. So that's kind of what I've gotten out of the Course in Miracles. As I learn more, I'm excited to share more about what I'm learning. I've written songs from different spiritual perspectives, like the 12-step program that I got sober in, and I haven't really written one yet for the course, but one of my songs fits real well, so I'll just end it with singing the chorus. It's called Children of the Light, because we really are children of God's light and love. So thank you for giving me this time, and I'll end with this song. We are children of the light, children of light, lighting up the world, lighting it up, making it bright with the light of God's love. Yes, we are children of the light, children of light, lighting up the world, lighting it up, making it bright with the light of God's love. Thank you.